All right, welcome back to our middle school podcast. Thank you for joining us again. Today I'm joined with me a couple of colleagues, Kate Alexander and Shannon Lynham, the Edmund sisters. Thank you for joining us. Kate's back after the very first podcast, I think it was. Yeah, it was.
Happy to be back.
Yes, and Shannon's been bugging me about being part of the podcast series now.
So happy to be here.
So thank you both for joining us. Today we're talking about STEM. Now, Kate and Shannon are both really passionate about STEM and also lead and facilitate our own middle school STEM club, which we're going to talk about a little bit later. But yeah, today's focus is on STEM. And I guess it burst onto the educational landscape roughly around the mid to late 2000s. Do you want to tell us a little bit about what is STEM and why it's relevant and why it's so important?
Yeah, thanks, Greg. STEM is an acronym for the subjects science, technology, engineering, and maths. And I suppose it's really become increasingly popular in the education environment due to the changing nature of the world we live in at the moment. The idea of STEM in schools is that we want to increase engagement and interest in these disciplines for our students, so that as they get older, we hope that they'll choose STEM-related subjects as they move into tertiary study and are then prepared for a changing world. So the key with STEM is that it really improves kids' problem-solving and critical analysis skills. And, you know, prepares them for 21st century learning, I suppose.
It was always like a question about, was this just a buzz thing that's going to come and go? But I think industry has said, no, we need kids coming through the schooling system, not just being competent, but confident with these elements.
I think, Greg, the new data on this coming out is that 75% of the growth industries that are building for the future have STEM-based backgrounds. And that's on a broad scale. As global citizens, we need to produce students who have these skills because they will fulfil roles that need to be filled in our future. But I suppose I have a little bit more of a local sort of desire for this program, in that as a senior science teacher at Villanova, I want to see students come through into our department and that have not just passion but have had an opportunity to develop multidisciplinary skills, which unfortunately in our modern curriculum it doesn't allow for us to teach that, whereas in the real world you don't just do biology, you don't just do chemistry, you don't just do technology. Those things blend together and the lines are really fuzzy. So this project that Kate and I are running allows us to show boys what real life scientists do, real life jobs look like.
I was going to ask you both, why are you two so passionate about STEM, and you know, what brought you to STEM and to create the interest here? And you probably answer that well from a curriculum point of view, Shannon. Where did your STEM passion come from, Kate?
I think for me, obviously, growing up, you know, both my mum and my sister were really engaged in the sciences. But for me, it's more around the engaging nature of the subjects and the fact that we can create really interesting problem-based hands-on learning, which I think is really important for our boys.
STEM became STEAM briefly there. I don't know if it still is STEAM, but we added the A. Can you tell us why the arts were added into to STEM?
Yeah, so basically with these subjects, we know that the arts are critical to brain development and learning, and this idea that, you know, scientific concepts don't just you know, operate in a silo, that, you know, the creative process is also really critical. And so they added the A for arts, which encompasses really everything from, you know, art, drama, dance, music.
And I think specifically when I say STEM, I suppose I always mean STEAM.
Mm.
Because any project that has real life implications must be communicated to a public of some kind. And it's impossible to do that without the arts. Mm. And particularly, I suppose one of the interesting areas is that we're looking at in one of our current projects is behavioural science and how to get people to do what you want them to do and how to get a message across. And the use of the arts is the primary supporter of communicating what you have learnt in the scientific and technology and mathematical worlds. Mm. So I don't think it can be separated, and perhaps we should permanently change the name of our STEM club to our STEAM club.
I'll leave you to to wrestle with that. You mentioned the STEM club. Tell us about the process that you lead the boys on, because you mentioned problem solving. Do you want to talk us a little bit about what process is involved? We'll go specifically to the project that they're working on in a moment, but tell us about the process that you adopt.
Yeah, so we've undertaken a couple of projects this year. We entered the Slate Geeks competition, which saw the boys creating a video on a concept or an idea or a problem, and having to explain that. We also dabbled in Lego EV3 Mindstorm robots, and now we're undertaking more of a citizen science project, which has the boys looking at a real world problem which has some relevance to them. So the idea of STEM Club is that we collect and research data and then encourage the boys to reach out to any local experts so that they can broaden their understanding and their knowledge in a particular area. And then the boys have to identify possible interventions in regards to that problem and perhaps create a prototype of that intervention and then collect data on its effectiveness. So really we want to get to a point where we're encouraging the boys to present their findings with an authentic audience.
Yeah, nice. So you said that they're working on something relevant at the moment. Shannon, do you want to tell the people what's the STEM Club currently working on?
All right. So our current project has been based around a local Villanova problem, which is our wonderful crow population that we have here at Villa. They're spectacular, intelligent birds that have adapted to urban environments beautifully. But what that means is that they impact our daily life here at school. And originally we discussed this with the boys. They came up with the ideas of how they impact our life, and the main ones seem to be noise and rubbish and possibly waste that they might produce themselves. Interestingly, the boys then surveyed students and found out that the noise actually wasn't a big problem. It didn't concern many people, and the rubbish and food stealing were the two significant problems. So the boys are currently at the stage where they are collecting data on the current numbers and behaviours of the crows that we have at the moment. They have researched crow behaviour, crow biology, and human behaviour towards crows. They have presented that to us. This has become the background for them developing their own possible list of interventions, which was extensive and somewhat unrealistic in a number of the ideas.
Slash morbid.
Slash disturbing and violent. Yes. Right. So after some analysis and putting the ideas through a matrix that we got from a professor at QT, we have shortened our list of possible interventions, and we're lucky enough to have Professor Daryl Jones coming in next week to speak to the boys. He is a behavioural ecologist from Griffith University, and he is a crow specialist.
Wow.
So he will be speaking to the boys, they will be presenting to him, and he will help us refine our interventions. The final step will then be to put our interventions into place and then collect data on whether they have been effective or not.
I know when you presented this to me, I think one of the myths around STEM is that it is the Lego and the robotics, and it's just focused on, you know, make a space type things. But taking a real world problem, particularly in a local context, and giving the boys a voice and opportunity to put some solutions in must be really engaging for the group.
Yeah, and like we said, real STEM has to hit a number of those interdisciplinary areas. So it's not just robotics. As cool as that is, and as much as we want to do stuff like that as well, we have to teach some of those those broader skills.
The STEM's a growth area in a lot of schools, Villa included. Can you put the crystal ball on and tell us what might the future of STEM look like at Villa? What are your hopes and aspirations of STEM at Villa, particularly middle school?
Yeah, I think the fact that we're growing at the moment and we're developing certain parts of the school, it would be great to see a STEM lab and a maker space available to our boys at lunchtimes and after school. We really just want to encourage our students to be inquisitive and want to know more about the world around them and keen to solve real world problems.
Yeah, I think we're at a base level now. Kate and I started this club at the start of the year just through our own passion project. And we are doing it in the library. We're pulling together what resources we need at whatever time. And I think for the future, and we're just working with the middle school at the moment, so we have 7s, 8s and 9s and a small group of 10 students. We would see the future of STEM growing to having, as Kate said, a space that's specifically designed for it and will allow those multidisciplinary skills to be put into action in a space that allows that. We'd also long-term like to invite the junior school to join into the project and obviously grow the numbers of the projects and the number of projects that we're doing at this time.
We really appreciate the work that you're doing. Did you want to add?
Yeah, one final thing. Just a plug, if there are any friends or family listening today who have a special interest in one of those areas, we strongly encourage them to get in touch with myself or Shannon. We'd love to hear from you.
Good plug. Thank you both for joining us, and thank you for the work that you're doing in this space and encouraging the boys and the STEM passion for STEM. And I share your vision. It would be great to have all of those things, and I think there is a thirst for it. I think there's some demand as well. Kids are really keen on these things, so I think you're not going to have any trouble growing student numbers. So we really appreciate the work that you're doing, and we wish you all the best with solving the crow population. They probably annoy me more than the kids by the sounds of it. But we appreciate your work, and thank you for joining us for the podcast.
Our pleasure.
Thank you.